Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena, the Predators' home opener tonight. And since hockey season is back, so is Elliot Friedman. Elliot, it is so great to have you back on these airwaves. Appreciate you for stopping by.
It is great to be back. Hope you guys all had a great summer, and hope life in Nashville and Tennessee is very good.
And well, life in Nashville, at least hockey life in Nashville, has changed a lot since the last time we chatted. You know, the Predators move on from John Hines, bring in Andrew Brunette. So now I don't have to ask you if they're going to fire the coach every week. So this is a nice change of pace. Barry Trotz takes over as general manager.
What do coaches get? So I figure about 2.5 years from now, Caroline, I got to start preparing for that again. Okay, I'll be ready. Hopefully,
I'll give you some time.
Much longer than that. Yeah, much longer than that.
I think that would be great for everyone here, and also for you, and our discussions every week,
yes,
and the ease of our discussions. Right, exactly. So, you know, a new era of Predators hockey, moving on to kind of a youth movement, but also bringing in what Barry Trotz calls serial winners: Ryan O'Reilly, Luke Shen, Gus Nyquist. What do you make of this transition that the team is in?
I think that there was definitely a feeling that things had gotten a bit stale. You know, the thing I really liked the other night against Tampa Bay is obviously the team didn't start very well, but they got going. I think there were some games last year that, you know, if the Predators didn't start well, they didn't really dig their way out of it. And that was one last night that was different. They didn't win. They could have won. And I'm sure that in some level there's probably people in there saying we probably should have won. But the bottom line is that they showed a real compete level that at times last year I think they felt was lacking. So, you know, like the thing about O'Reilly is he's a pro. The thing about Shen is he's a pro. Like those guys are going to be prepared to play. They demand a lot of themselves. As a result, they demand a lot of the people around them. And that's what's going to change. That's what how this group is going to change. Like whatever didn't work last year, Barry Trotz felt that those personalities were necessary to improve it.
And it makes sense. You know, if you're going young, you assume it's a learning by osmosis from guys that have been around the game and have played an incredibly high level. Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, do you think that you can win a cup that way, of not tearing everything down and, you know, more making more renovations or adjustments to build for the future rather than completely tearing it down, getting a top three pick, getting that elite center, elite forward for the future?
Well, I think the challenge there, Carolyn, is, you know, like, I just don't think your team is barren of talent. And I think the other thing, too, is I think it's an easy thing. Like, in the NFL, you know, you're going to make a ton of money no matter what your record is, right? You know, the NFL's media deals being what they are and the popularity of the league, you know, you can have situations where you say, we're going to do a long rebuild and you're going to be okay. I think sometimes these teams worry about long rebuild in hockey, you know, what's that going to mean? Like, is it going to affect their ticket sales? Is it going to affect their draw? Things like that. So as a result, I think those decisions always go into it. The one thing I really feel is that in hockey, you need elite-level talent, yes, but you also need depth. And, you know, Parsonen scored the other night. If you're – like, I think that the Predators want to see – some of these guys play at the NHL level in big roles before they figure out, you know, how much, you know, they really have to do a total teardown or things like that. Like if Novak is what we think he can be, that's a real good piece that in some ways has found money. If Parsonen is what we think he could be, that's a real good piece. So I think what they want to find out for sure, Carolyn, is put those players in places where they're going to have to take a bigger role and then decide, okay, can they do it? Yes. Then what else do we need? can they do it? Can they not do it? Then we have bigger problems than we thought. And I think that's kind of where Nashville is right now. I think they want to find out for sure what they have before they decide they have to do anything drastic.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, great to talk to you again. And listening to your breakdown of the division that I heard you do on your podcast, the 32 Thoughts, which is excellent, with Jeff Merrick, that people should always listen to, you really, I think, characterized it well, that after you get past Colorado and Dallas, who look like they're really in a good position to challenge for big things, that it's pretty open and unknown where everybody else falls.
Mm-hmm. I would say also, Willie, I think Minnesota, they're pretty good. I don't think they're as good as Colorado and Dallas, but I think they're good. And I think Chicago, as we're seeing, they're probably going to finish eighth. But I think there's four teams there, Arizona, St. Louis, Winnipeg, and yourselves, where I think there's a spectrum of where it could go. Like, I think there are situations where those teams could be better than we expect, and I think there are situations where those four teams could be not as good or worse than we expect. So when I see you guys, and I see you guys with the Blues and the Coyotes and the Jets, I really have no idea. I thought you guys really battled the other night. I think it was a good sign. I mean, game one, you shouldn't be losing 8-1 like the Oilers did last night. I thought it was a really good sign for you guys, but you know, we'll see. How many times is Saros going to be beaten 4 or 5 times? You don't think it's going to be a lot, but that's a great team with a lot of players. I think if you guys take out the first, 15 minutes or so, if you guys can start better and carry that through, I think you're going to have a lot better nights than we expect.
It was an ESPN triple header, but I'm curious your perspective from where you sat, Elliot, because ESPN went all in, and maybe to some Predator fans here's liking, they went maybe a little over the top with the debut of Connor Bedard, which was coming up after the Predator game. And so there was a lot of people in Nashville saying, hey, we got a game here. How about paying attention to this game before the Blackhawks game start? But we understand just the impact, especially knowing the Blackhawks' rivalry with the Predators, how big that's going to be. So I'm curious, how have you guys handled it on Sportsnet, the debut of a guy that looks like he's going to be very, very special, and he has not disappointed. The first two games, you can see why everybody's been so excited about this guy.
Well, I think this. First of all, I understand why the Predators might hate to see one of their biggest rivals get featured like that, but you've got to understand what's going on here. This is a huge prospect, and, for example, if one of Nashville's rivals in the biggest rivals in the NFL, whether it's the Colts or whoever it is, like when Andrew Luck was making his debut, it's going to be all over the place whether the Colts are playing the Titans or not. Like, that's just life. And as a matter of fact, I think honestly, guys, in the NHL, we don't do it enough. Like, every other league, if you took, and I don't necessarily, like talk about a generational player in the NBA, like, for example, Wembanyama this year, or LeBron James when he was the number one pick. If ESPN had those games, those guys are going to be all over the place. And that's the way it should be. People want to see them. People are interested in them. I think in hockey, we don't do that enough. And I really liked what ESPN did the other night. I thought it was also good that the Stanley Cup was on Monday Night Football and the Golden Knights were there because the game Raiders-Packers was in Vegas. So I think hockey's too shy about that stuff. I think we need to do it more. Look, he's coming up this weekend. He's going to be in Montreal on Saturday. He's going to be in Toronto on Monday. I mean, we're going to go overboard with it too. Like, when he scored last night and I tweeted it out, his first goal, people were like, oh, good, maybe we can talk about something else. I mean, come on, don't be bitter. Don't be bitter.
Just go with it.
Embrace the sport. Embrace the entertainment. It's a big deal. And the kid is really, really talented. And people want to see stars. I can tell you this. If Nashville picks number one and they take Bedard, he's not getting any less attention. It's all over the place. And then you guys would say, hey, stop disrespecting Nashville. He's our star.
Elliot, another point you made, which I think is a good one, and we were on the air when it happened. We looked up, and right away we saw a hockey guest on the Pat McAfee show, which is, you know, almost a rising show that already had a huge following. Now it's on ESPN. It's a big deal that they had him on. And you pointed that out on your podcast, just what that means for the sport, kind of like you did when Matthew Tkachuk was going on the NBA show with the TNT guys during the final.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. Like, I don't know how you guys feel, but I really like McAfee. I think he's really entertaining and he's really funny, and I really admire his work ethic. Like, I was following last Saturday as he did the college football game in the morning, the show from Colorado, and then he did a game cast, and then someone sent me some video. He was at the WWE match in Indianapolis that night. Like, that guy works. But he's got a huge audience. He's, you know, there's got a lot of fans. I was on his show once, and I must have been a terrible guest because he didn't invite me back. But I got so many tweets and notes of, oh, I heard you on McAfee. And, you know, I love hockey. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies when it comes to self-promotion. It's never bad to be on a place like that. Never.
The Seattle Kraken are in town tonight. If you look at the Predators' schedule, the first five opponents are all very, very good. And it's not ideal for a coach trying to put a new system in with a lot of young players. The Kraken probably are the least scary on paper. But, man, that is a really effective team, the way they go about it. Maybe tell people what you're seeing from them, why they have been so successful, why they were able to beat the Avalanche in the first round last year.
Well, first of all, Willie, I would disagree with you on one thing. I actually think it's a great thing that the Predators are getting all these tough teams at the beginning. Because when you're turning your team over and you've got a lot of young players, and like you said, there's a lot of young players that have bright futures, you might as well learn right away that this is a league, if you're not prepared, you're going to get punched in the face. And, you know, like, this is a league full of a lot of good players and a lot of good teams, and you have to work to win in this league. You can be talented, talent's important, but if you don't have the will, all the skill won't help you. And so that's why I think it's a great thing that you guys have the schedule you do, if maybe you'd like one more maybe guaranteed win in there. I think the thing about Seattle is, the thing that made them successful last year is that they didn't have a ton of guys who played a ton of minutes, especially up front. It was very evenly distributed. But they came at you in waves, and they grinded hard, and they really stick to structure. They have some really talented players, but generally everybody stays where they're supposed to stay, and everybody gets reasonably close to minute allocation. So that's the thing about them is you look up and down their roster, you won't see too many stars, but you'll see a lot of consistent guys who don't take too many shifts off.
Elliot Friedman is with us. And yeah, when Connor Bedard was on McAfee, we had it on in the studio without the sound on, and I thought, whose little brother is that? And then, oh my goodness, that's Connor Bedard. Looked like a child up there on the TV screen.
He does look young, doesn't he? But he's able to handle. He's got a maturity about him that you can tell. He's been doing these interviews probably since he was 12.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, he has been absolutely media groomed.
Well, I have to say, as a guy who's 53, I am definitely jealous of Bedard's age and youthful looks. But I'll tell you a story. I was at an event where a bunch of scouts were, and they were talking about last year's draft combine. And, you know, they're like, okay, like, how strong is this guy? Like, you know, is he going to need a few years till he really develops into his body? And he started doing reverse pull-ups. And, like, I don't know how many chin-ups or reverse pull-ups you guys can do. I can do, like, 12, but I need a band to help me do it. But anyway, they said he was like a machine. And when his arms started flexing, they were like, he may look like a boy, and he does, but he's got a very, very strong body. And they said he's going to score, and he's going to score right away. I guess that's the great combination, strong body, youthful looks, and I have neither.
Well, 12 pull-ups. Hey, that's an accomplishment in and of itself. I don't know if I can
crack
the... Like
I said, Carolyn, there's a band there. There's a band reaching to help me.
Well, hey, I won't check your work there, I promise. I'll just take your word for it.
Just say 12. Just go with 12.
Yeah, just 12.
I mean, we're in Nashville. 12, just go with it.
Yeah, just go with it.
Sure, that's gorgeous.
Right.
Yeah.
It's early in the season, but, you know, looking at the Central Division, what's your impression of... Because it looks here, you know, besides Chicago, maybe Arizona, maybe there's not really a weakest link there. Chicago could end up being a whole lot better than we anticipate.
I don't know about that, Con. I don't think they're going to be very good. Like, they lost a big player last night. Taylor Hall got hurt. Like, he's supposed to play wing with Bedard, and he's going to be out week to week now. Suffered a pretty serious injury, apparently. But, you know, the one, like, I watched, like, I worked till late last night. We had all seven Canadian teams played last night, so we had a doubleheader. But I had one eye on Colorado. Those guys look really good. Really good. And they're pissed off. They're pissed off about how they lost last year. You know, I think like MacKinnon and Makar, their two best players, are really fiery guys. And there is a real feeling that they blew it last year to the Kraken in the first round. Like, they're going to be a lot to handle. You know, Dallas opens tonight, so we'll see them. They play St. Louis. But I got to tell you, that L.A. team is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And Colorado just dismantled them. They look real good.
The big, bad Colorado Avalanche, as we've been calling them for the past couple of years. Who's a team that we're not talking enough about in the Western Conference?
You know, I think you know, first of all, Vegas, the defending champion, they also look great. Like, I've seen teams raise the banner, and I love that slot machine, by the way. I thought that was fantastic. But I've seen teams raise the banner before and absolutely lay an egg. They looked really good, too. They beat Seattle, who you're playing tonight. So I would say them. But that L.A. team that got smoked last night by Colorado, I think they're ready to do a little bit more damage. They've lost in the first round the last 2 years. They've consistently added veteran strong centers. L.A. would be the team, despite what happened last night, that I would like. And I'll tell you something last night, too. Like, a lot of us are picking Edmonton to win the Stanley Cup. They got their asses kicked last night. I know Brock Besser got 4 goals, but Pettersson from Vancouver, Elias Pettersson, number 40, he was a monster, and he's in a contract year.
It's Brocktober, after all.
He has got a shot, no question about it.
Yeah.
Elliot, before we let you go, I noticed on Cap Friendly there are 10 teams as we start the year that are already using the LTIR. And we know that the last couple of years have been flat, right, where the cap hasn't gone up. Teams have had to get creative. They've seen what other teams have done utilizing the LTIR. And the cap, as you reported earlier after the governor's meetings, it's going to go up finally next year. So what factor, if any, is it that on so many teams, I mean, you're getting close, when you count other teams that are right up on the cap already, what factor do you think that it will be as we move forward and teams start getting injuries on trying to get through this with very little cap space for one more year?
Well, it's going to be a problem. Like, the way it works, for people who are not familiar, if you put a player on what Willie referred to as long-term injury, you get some relief. That really can help you. The problem is, if you put a player on long-term injured relief, he must miss a minimum of 10 games and 24 days. So if you have someone who's hurt not as badly, you can't do that. So they miss games, and you don't get the cap relief. Like, for example, right now, Ottawa has a player who's not signed, a very important player for them, Shane Pinto, but they have no cap room, and they have an injured player who can't go on to long-term injury. So they can't get it done. That's a problem. Last night we had 4 teams have to play a man short because they didn't have the cap room to bring up a minimum salaried player. Now, the way the league works is if you play one game short, then you can make an emergency call-up for your next games. But last night we had four, which is a lot. And I think for the first time ever, there were two teams that played against each other shorthanded, the Oilers and the Canucks. So
wow.
It's going to be a dance this year. It's going to be a real dance.
Where can the Predators, who have the fourth highest cap space available because they're in this transition, they moved on from some guys, where can they maybe take advantage of that with these teams that are that really have very few moves that they can make?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that because I should have brought this up before. But there's a player in Vancouver who he is not at, like Vancouver's one of those teams that's obviously really tight to the cap. There's a player there who just hired a new agent, replaced his agent like 2 days before the season, and the agent has been given permission to talk to other teams. And his name is Connor Garland. And I think he's the kind of player that Nashville would have some interest in. But Vancouver is prepared to eat salary. And I don't know what other sweeteners they've kind of talked about there for that. He's got this in two more years at $4.9 million. And I could see him being the kind of player that the Predators would at least have some interest in. I have no doubt that the Predators have at least looked at the idea, but I also think that they would want to do it in a way where they would really benefit, as you mentioned.
Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. Elliot, it is so great to have you back on our airwaves. Hockey is finally back. Thanks so much for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
No worries, guys. Have a great night. Enjoy the game and have a great week.
Awesome. Appreciate it. You too. Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. Let's preview the game coming up tonight. Predators Kraken, Predators home opener in Bridgestone Arena. What's Willie looking for? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.